It's Time's Yours on a cold Monday morning in December. I'm Spike with Lee Russikoff. Lee, I have to ask you, if you were, and you're not really anymore, but if you were one of those Andy Reid hater people, the get him out of town people, how furious would you be this morning with the rest of Philadelphia, with the way the season is progressing? It's almost like it's their worst nightmare, right?
I gotta say, it's cold outside, but it's warm in my heart because look, this is a city of champions all of a sudden, right? We're looking at four championships again, right?
Four Sixers for four.
Blow out the Wizards.
Yeah.
The Eagles are on a run of destiny. I mean, don't forget, right? Everyone loves to say that the Packers got in on the last day. They look what they did last year.
Right.
You know, Flyers are on 24/7, and they're a lot more interesting than they've ever been. And the Phillies signed Jimmy Rollins.
So. Yeah. Major upgrades.
It's a great day.
Upgrades and promise everywhere. All right. So before I decided we had a I had to have some kind of order. So I feel like big picture stuff has to be second. And game okay. specific first. So I feel like it'll work just fine. Just trust me on this one.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I'm with you.
Real quick.
Game specific. I mean, go ahead.
Real quick. Playoff scenario, just real quick, and we'll get back to this. But has become pretty simple. Went from complicated to simple. Eagles have to beat the Cowboys. Giants have to lose to the Jets, and then the Giants have to beat the Cowboys, and that's pretty much all that has to happen. No longer alive for the wild card, only alive for winning the division. So,
And again, we'll know at kickoff if the game means anything, or close to it. The Giants and Jets play at 1, the Eagles and Cowboys play at 4. So,
right, we'll but they do. I guess they still have time to flex a different game into 4.
That's true. That's true.
So if I read something or I heard something where they can still change that. So if they want, because they don't want, I guess potentially that you wouldn't want potentially that Cowboys Eagles game to mean nothing. So
right.
I guess they would rather have a game that they're sure would mean something at, I don't know.
Right.
Is
do you
it,
take the Giants Jets?
Right. Yeah. They have plenty of time to flex it actually, because if the Cowboys beat the Eagles and the Giants beat the Jets, then you want doesn't it end on, it ends on Cowboys Giants. Don't you want to just end on Cowboys Giants then? Right. You want that to be your 4 o'clock game.
You're talking about week 17 now.
Yeah, week 17. Oh, so you're saying week we'll know.
I'm saying this week.
Right, I'm saying
this week the Giants and Jets play. And then remember, it's all on Saturday night. Saturday, I'm sorry. So, yeah, the Giants and Jets play at 1 and the Eagles and Dallas play at 4.
Yeah,
right.
I was thinking week 17.
Yeah, you're on week 17, yeah.
Okay, I'm already there, bro. I'm already there.
Right.
So, speaking of week...
You already have the Jets.
So yesterday specifically, speaking of week 17, yesterday specifically kind of felt like as the Giants lost to the Redskins, it kind of had the feel of a similar feel of that game that the Eagles crushed the Cowboys on the last day of the season because the Raiders beat the Bucks. It kind of felt to me like the Eagles game was going to go the exact direction of the way that. So I went from kind of feeling negative about this game because I was kind of sure that the Giants were going to beat the Redskins, to going into it, I was kind of feeling positive about the game. You?
Yeah, no, I felt good about it. I didn't think it was going to be 45-19. I mean, what was shocking to me was just the defense looked like, you know, what you expected the defense to look like all year, especially with the, forget about the wide nine, but with, like, Babbitt standing up. I mean, it was unconventional and it was different, and the Jets had no answer for it, which was, you know, something that you expected out of this defense against every team.
Yeah, and the second in a row, not only solid performance by the defense, but like you said, like a suffocating performance from the defense.
Right.
And it even not only are they starting to find their way as a whole, but even individually, you know, Casey Matthews no longer appears to be when he's on the field, you never notice him screwing up every time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Casey, they seem to have found a way to position everybody but Nnamdi Asamoah to make them look like they're productive players. Asamoah still, it feels like the only guy on the defense that doesn't particularly, that still sticks out as not quite quite performing up to par. Is it at all possible that he's not that good?
What's possible, I think, is that he's not that flexible, that he can't do a lot of things. Like, because he's very good at covering one guy. They just don't want to do that with him. For whatever reason, that's not how the Eagles run their defense, and they don't want to take one guy away all the time. So that he does well. But it's possible that he doesn't do everything else that this defense needs him to do very well. That's certainly a possibility.
So then when you get to the defense and you talk about Castillo, I guess I wanted to do this later, but we might as well do it now because we're talking about the defense. So you're on the Keep Andy Reid, you're on that team. At one point, it was certainly a foregone conclusion that if he was going to stay, that Castillo had to go because somebody has to take the hit, and clearly Castillo's not ready and so on and so forth. But is that worth rethinking? Not only for the organization, because I certainly think there's a possibility that if they end up 8-8, whether they make the playoffs or not, if the defense continues to play well, and the Cowboys will be the real test, and not obviously not the Redskins, but if the defense continues to play well, do you, Lee Russikoff, forgetting about the Eagles and what they will do, but do you have any interest in allowing him to be the defensive coordinator next year?
So the argument for it, my answer is no.
Okay.
But the argument for it and the argument why it's a possibility for the Eagles is because the growth is there, right? So they're going to be sold on the growth. And, you know, when you're in that bubble, you only see the positive because that's how you have to be as a team owner, as a coach. You see, you know, where you're going. And you look at what this defense was, and if it continues to play this way throughout the last 2 weeks of the season, well, then, you know, maybe it just took Juan the same amount of time it took the players to learn his way, you know? If it's me, I'm looking at a guy like Spagnuolo to bring in and upgrade and just be a little bit more creative. Although, that said, they looked pretty creative yesterday.
Yeah, well, they've started blitzing. It's exactly...
Well, just... When they had the two down linemen and they had Babin standing up, it's like impossible to stop. Apparently, he looks like DeMarcus Ware when he's standing up. I'd love that. I'd keep doing that.
Yeah, well, he's so fast. He's fast, and
yeah.
It's the thing with Castillo, and not cutting him too much slack, but I think cutting him the proper amount of slack is, or at least understanding, is that. Okay, if he is a first-year defensive coordinator, and not only a first-year defensive coordinator, but a first-year defensive coordinator who hadn't been coaching defense the last several years, if he's a first-year defensive coordinator, on top of which you're adding all of these new pieces, on top of which you're also adding Jim Washburn, which must be an interesting dynamic, at least in the coach's room, with, you know, Castillo being over a guy like Washburn, you know, a guy like Washburn who's done it for so long and certainly has his way. On top of which, having this short training camp, it makes sense that it would take Castillo this long. I mean, it doesn't, maybe it's not acceptable. Maybe as an organization, it's not acceptable for it to take this long for the defense to be good, but it's certainly understandable that it would take this long, that you wouldn't get it together right away. I mean, it's not surprising to me that it took this long.
No, I mean, that was everyone's biggest complaint in the offseason for putting him in this position, is you had a team that was supposedly a Super Bowl contender that was putting all these pieces to make the run this year, and then you had a rookie defensive coordinator who wasn't even coaching defense in the NFL. I mean, that never made any sense to me adding up. But yeah, if you look at the way And you don't want to take too much from one game or two games, I guess, the last two games they played really well. But, you know, if they continue this trend, then, I mean, they're certainly – it's tough to play better defense than they've played the last – two weeks.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, they're certainly, there were plays that they got beat on, but overall, I mean, that's a defense you can win with.
Even with the, and you would think, like, obviously next year they would address the deficiencies they have. Even with the deficiencies they have, you would expect
maybe,
yeah, or one of the two, one of the two.
Right.
Okay, so before full big picture discussion, the offense, aside from
Brent Celek,
what's that?
Brent Celek, and So the offense, the easiest thing is what was most impressive to me about the offense is something that they don't typically do is they took advantage of a clear weakness from the other team. Rather than be stubborn and want to run their game plan and what they think is going to work, they took advantage of Jim Leonard being out, a wide open middle of the field, and just ran at it and threw Brent Celek across it all the time. Rather than bumping their head against Revis, they just said, screw it. You know, we don't need to. You have this weakness in the middle of the field. And they exploited it. And that's football. That's the NFL. That's what you have to do week in and week out. And that's what I'd love to see again.
Well, and it's not just the game plan, which was obviously to do that, but Vic was, you want to talk about stubborn, Vic, I think in these 2 years has been noticeably stubborn that he wants to go to Jackson, that he wants to go to Jackson and not go to Celek. And he hasn't, you know, last year was the Celek caught fewer passes. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would imagine caught fewer passes than he had in a couple of years. Like last year was supposed to be the breakout year for Celek and ended up being a step back year. And to see this much production out of Celek, I didn't think we'd ever see it again. And I kind of thought that it more had to do with something that Celek didn't have as a player, didn't have the ability to advance past where he was, less so than I thought it was about the quarterback, but maybe it was just about the quarterback looking for him. Because even the first half of this year, Celek was nowhere to be found. It's been basically the second half of the season, and he's got more catches now than anybody on the team. He leads the Eagles in receptions, which I didn't think we'd ever see again.
Well, and some of that is, you know, honestly, some of it is the offensive line. And they made a little bit more of it than it was last year, but he did block a lot more last year and at the beginning of this year because they weren't sure of the offensive line. And now as this offensive line gets better and gels and becomes what they want it to be, that frees up Celek to run a few more routes and get open across the middle and get up on a linebacker or a safety.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. There were a couple of turnovers, but the offensive turnover, the Shady McCoy one is the first time he's fumbled all season, and the Vic interception was on the last play of the half, so it wasn't a real interception. The stupid stuff was on special teams. I don't think there will be a game this season where the Eagles don't do something that make me want to just like, what are you doing? Like that kind of like,
yeah.
Why would you do that? Stop doing that. They just look so dumb sometimes. The thing about Vic that is always going to bother me, but I guess I have to let it stop being a point of discussion at some point, is if you're not going to protect yourself, don't tell me before the game that you've learned you have a responsibility toward the team and you're going to protect yourself. Because he not only doesn't protect himself, but it's like he does stuff when they're up, you know, 25 points at the end of the third quarter. He's going to get himself killed. I just want him to be able to play week to week. That's all. And he's just forgetting about sliding. Let's take that completely out of sliding. Let's take that completely out of the discussion. Just, you know, if there's not anything there, throw the ball away if you're up 25 points. It's just, it's mind-numbing. Is he ever going to change? Is that ever going to stop? Or should I just forget about it?
You got to let it go. Yeah, you got to let it go. It's not going to stop. And it just means that the Eagles have to take the backup quarterback more seriously than they did this year. They just signed Vince Young and assumed that he'd be good. But he's clearly not. He's clearly not ready to run an offense like this. So, yeah. And maybe Kafka will grow into that. I don't know. He can be, he's just got as much talent as like the Coy Detmers and the AJ Feely. So maybe it's Kafka, though. Well, I don't know that he has the arm strength.
The Cardinals are playing pretty well with Skelton. Maybe we can get Cobb back.
There you go.
To play
for
back
a second
up.
Round pick.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Come on. And then, I don't know what else we could say about Shady McCoy other than, I guess I hope he's so young that I guess I hope he doesn't let how good he is go to his head, because he's it's noticeable his improvement from year one to year two to year three has been noticeable both times, noticeable improvement to the point where he's clearly one of the two or three best running backs in the NFL, the three best, let's say, one of the three best. I just hope he doesn't stop trying to get better. That's the only negative I think I could come up with about Shady McCoy, is that I just hope that he's so young that he doesn't allow himself to become, become whatever the word is. I don't want him to not keep trying to get better, but he's so good.
Complacent, I guess.
Is the complacent. Word. That was the
yeah,
word.
No.
Yeah.
There are announcers week to week, like legitimately. And I would never do this, but they're comparing him to Barry Sanders, which is ridiculous. But at the same time, I don't know how to couch this, so I'm not agreeing with it, but you see, like, the same movements, the jump backs, the cuts. What I saw was interesting. He has, like, the most, similar to Barry Sanders, he has the most runs for over 10 yards as a running back and the most for zero or negative yards. So he's never given up on a play, which is, you know, Barry Sanders-esque. I don't know if that's necessarily a good stat to have both those top numbers, but I'll take it with the way Shady's running.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, it's a similar style to Barry Sanders, but he doesn't look like Barry Sanders when he does
no.
it. It reminds you of it, the way he does that, but I, you know,
right.
Yeah, it'll frustrate me more out of McCoy than it ever did out of, I guess I never really cared about Barry Sanders anywhere. Anyway, but you know, everybody wants to use him more, wants Reed to use him more. I don't know. He's not that big a guy. I mean, you got to make sure he gets those minimum amount of touches. But I'm okay with him rushing the ball 19 times rather than 27
yeah.
times. He's not Adrian Peterson. He's not, you know, I'd rather have him rush 18, 19 times than 27 times in a game. So, and it's starting to be where, you know, like you said, national announcers are, it's not just us talking about him being, conceivably the best running back who was doing color yesterday? Was Marv Albert doing play-by-play? Whoever was doing color said he was a Hall of Fame running back, I think.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah. Maybe I'm mixing that up with post-game live, but I think it was on the actual broadcast. Because I didn't watch the second half of the game until last night because I went to the Sixers thing. So I watched the first half, but I could be confusing things, but somebody said that yesterday. So, and then DeSean Jackson only had two targets, but it was DeSean Jackson – on some level, who made it possible for Celek to have that field open, you know, kind of taking Revis out of the middle of the field at all, you know, just by it wasn't a noticeable horrible game for DeSean Jackson, at least. It didn't
right.
I didn't see him
any play, right, where he wasn't trying to quit or quit on routes, or it seemed like he was, again, taking Revis off the field to open it up.
Yeah,
that was their game plan. Yeah, so I'm not. That's DeSean. You can't pick on DeSean.
So, and this
not for this game.
This game would be the second most complete game of the year compared to the Cowboys game, right? I mean, turnovers.
Yeah.
Aside. And I know you can't put turnovers aside because turnovers are important, but the turnovers were they weren't normal.
The only one
turnovers.
That was killer was the Deion Lewis one. That one
right.
could have got the Jets back in the game. That could have changed the whole game, and, you know, things could have snowballed from there. But aside from that, yeah, the turnovers weren't. Yeah, they weren't big point turnovers or things that you would worry about going forward.
So
what's amazing is that the defense was to turn the ball over. That's
yeah.
that's something at the end scoring. You know, like. I mean, this is the old Eagles defense. This is the defense you expected when they brought in Nnamdi. I mean, it's it's encouraging, but it's also frustrating because, you know, they wait till week 7, 15, 16 to pull this out, and it's like, you know, if you just beaten the Cardinals, if you just beaten the Seahawks, if you just beat, you know, there's so many games that they absolutely had no business losing that they lost. You know, the Niners, all those games where they blew the fourth quarter leads, they win two of those. We're talking about trying to find a home field bye or something. I don't know.
We're talking about today. We're talking about today. Don't be negative and live in the past here. We're talking about destiny. So then, the big picture stuff. Okay. Big picture issue number one. It appeared to us clearly, without question, I think we both would have admitted that it was clear that Andy Reid had lost the locker room, that they were no longer playing for him. However, over the last 2 weeks, with playoffs certainly in doubt, hanging on by a thread, but certainly in doubt, they have come to play, but not only come to play, but improved both weeks. So is it safe to say that we were wrong?
Yeah. So I think what was discouraging, man, I mean, there's ways to look at the same thing. Whether he lost the locker room, I still think that, you know, if things go wrong, this team doesn't play hard and they kind of quit on, and I think that's still probably going to be true. If they end up getting blown out by the Cowboys, you're going to see a lot of those plays again, and we're going to be talking about how he's lost the locker room again. Well, that's what's discouraging me. It's tough to figure. We're not in the locker room, so we can't say what their motivation is. I just know that, you know, when this team does get into a funk and is getting beat and not playing the way it is and looks confused, it looks like they're not giving full effort. And maybe that is just confusion, but to me, you know, you can be confused and still be playing hard and running hard and, you know, after an interception trying to catch somebody. I get the frustration because they all thought they were going to be good. The answer to your question, coming back to it, is yes. I guess if Andy never lost the locker room, but the underlying problem, I believe, is still there. That you have a bunch of guys that think they're better than they are, and they need to realize that they got to play that way, no matter the score.
Okay. Well, then I guess to that end, and you answer the question a little bit, but I guess to that end, we also thought that the mix of players, the players that they signed, were the wrong players, that they didn't put the team together the right way. But is it possible that the players they got are fine? It was just going to take long. It was the wrong players for this season in particular, with a short camp and yada yada yada. And these players are going to be fine. Or do you still think the makeup of? Because remember, there were a few weeks there where I could take or leave Jason Babin. I was like, he doesn't. All he cares about is sacks. Well, now all of a sudden, with him caring about sacks, it's kind of working out. You know, like sacks do help the team. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm totally sold either way, but it doesn't seem like maybe it's such a terrible mix of players.
I think they need like a Hunter Pence type to get them going. They need somebody. They need a leader. They need a linebacking leader, in my opinion. That'll never happen. But that's what they need, someone to keep them focused and keep them online. I think, you know, you get rid of a guy like DRC and you bring in some football players. That's what this team's like. They got all this skill, but they need somebody, they need a tough guy. They need that Dawkins type that's just going to go in, run his head into a wall to win a game. You know, that to me, they don't have. So is it the right mix? I think this mix can be okay as long as you get a genuine leader on the field that can, in a central position. And the fact that the center of the Eagles' defense is its weakness makes it there's an opportunity there to plug it in.
When you were saying that it needs a football player, bang his head, I just imagined you as John Madden. Like that's all I heard.
Man,
all I heard was John Madden. Okay, let's say this season.
Wait, and just one more point on that, because I want to wrap it. We heard Asante call the front office fantasy football players.
Yeah.
And
remember that?
It's a little Yeah, it's a little bit on the Madden. You know, we make fun of Madden because he's a meathead and he doesn't really think about, or it came off that he didn't think about football as a game. It was more just like emotional. You know, football's not baseball. There is something very emotional about it. There is something different about it. You need to get yourself at a crazy intense level to play it successfully at you know, the NFL level. So to me, that's what this team's been missing. So it is kind of like a Madden attitude that, you know, maybe isn't in the front office either. There's somebody you just need to say, you know what, we need a football player. And, you know, the funny thing is, the closest guy on that sideline that has that type of approach to football is Juan Castillo. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that means I want Juan Castillo to stay or go. All I know is I need a middle linebacker or a safety that can actually play football.
Yeah, okay. It was amazing in that whole thing. It was fun to listen to that. You talked yourself back into Juan Castillo somehow. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not really.
Okay, then let's say the Eagles beat the Cowboys, the Eagles beat the Redskins, but do not end up in the playoffs. You know, Cowboys beat the Giants last game of the season. So Eagles aren't in the playoffs, but the last two games show promise. They maybe not as dominating as this game is, but certainly, you know, defense looks good. Team looks like they're supposed to look. They end up 8-8. Knowing what you would know at that point, how far away are the Philadelphia Eagles from contending for a Super Bowl next season?
So my question to that is, here's the thing. The NFL is really bad, really bad. Like, you look at these teams, and even the Packers, who are a good team, they clearly have big weaknesses, and they can obviously be beat. They were just beat yesterday. So the answer to that is they're not far away, but the question to me is, do I believe that the architects are here to get them to that point where they are among the elite, where they have a shot at it? And I don't know that anymore. At the same time, you know, I don't think Andy Reid's going anywhere anymore. I think that's almost a foregone conclusion. Unless they get blown out in these last two games, I think Andy Reid's back, right? He's not going anywhere.
No. Right? Yeah, I agree with you. I think he'll... I think he'll be back.
What
but,
do you think? I mean, like, well, but this team, there's plenty of talent.
Well, okay, two things. First of all, about thinking he'll be back, I remember the season before, the off season before they let Donovan, before they traded Donovan, it finally came to a, I think we all felt, it finally came to a point, even I said, it's probably better if they trade Donovan for, you know, I took the for Donovan stance. But I was like, you know, it's finally better they trade, they get rid of Donovan. But we came to this conclusion that he was going to be here for one more year, that they weren't going to get rid of him. So
right.
Even though I think we will all come to the conclusion that Andy Reid's not going anywhere, I don't necessarily believe that to be true. And I just think that there's still a possibility that even maybe winning these last four games, maybe it saves him mentally as a coach, and maybe, but I still think that there's an underlying problem in which Andy Reid is no longer making personnel decisions. And I think that he wants to, and nobody here ever wants to hear it, but he wants to win a Super Bowl. And if he feels like that, it might be a situation where, and I think the Eagles would consider letting him out of his deal to coach somewhere else, but I think he'd also consider taking a year off and not coaching, or he has two more years, even maybe they take, I don't know what happens, but I think there's a possibility that at the end of this season, he looks at this and says, or has a meeting, maybe there's a meeting with Lurie and Banner and Roseman, and he, you know, he lays it down and he says, you know, I need more control over this, and they don't want to do that, and he walks away. And I just still think it's a possibility that even though we all feel like it's a foregone conclusion that he'll be back, that maybe he won't be here. And I think that it all comes down to he wants to win, and if he doesn't feel like that they will move in the right direction for them to win next year, for them to change the things that they need to change, whether they're the right things or not, I still think there's a possibility that he might not stay here. as to the team, as to how far away they are, I agree with you. The NFL sucks, and it's and you're absolutely correct in pointing out the Patriots, or even in pointing out that the two best teams in the two conferences have lousy defenses, lousy defenses. Both the Packers and the Patriots have considerable problems on defenses, on defense. And you can point to, well, the Patriots haven't allowed that many points, even though they've allowed the most yards in the league. Well, you can't be a good defense and allow the most yards in NFL history. You can't. I don't care how many points you give up. I don't care if you're 13th in points or 25th in points. If you're giving up that many yards, you're eventually going to run into a team that knows how to create points out of those yards. I don't think they're running some kind of, you know, Jim Johnson-esque bend but don't break strategic defense with a lot of, like, you know, with a lot of stand-up guys on it. I just think it's a coincidence more than anything else. So I don't even think that it's entirely crazy to suggest, and I know, like, it is crazy, but I don't even think it's entirely crazy to suggest that if the Eagles got in the playoffs that they could win the Super Bowl this year. Like, I don't even, like, that's how bad I think the NFL is. That, you know, there is, it's not inconceivable to me for the Eagles to beat every team in the NFC and then beat a team out of the AFC. There aren't those one or two teams that I don't think that there's, well, that's the team that they're not going to get past. So I don't think they're that far at all. But I think that the question becomes is, are they going to do the right things? In fact, I think they, not only are they that not that far from being a contender, they're not that far from being the favorite. You know, they're not that far from being the best team in the NFC for going into the season the same way that they went into this season. But the question becomes, are they going to make those correct decisions going into next year to become that team? You know, are they going to shore up, just do the thing that they did when they went and got Kearse and T.O., even though Kearse didn't work out, is know exactly what your holes are and go fill them. And if they do that, then I think it's entirely possible that they do that. I just don't know if I'm not convinced that they'll do that. And I'd be more convinced if I knew it was Reed. Like, Reed seems like he's softened on a lot of his stubbornness and a lot of his stances. And, you know, if the need is that clear for a linebacker, he'd probably go and, you know, do what it took to go get a linebacker. But who knows with Roseman, Banner, whoever's making the decisions, who knows? But I guess the short answer is they're not that far at all. They can't be. They have too many players to be that far. Too many good players to be that far at all. I think the biggest question,
not really, like, they're really aging. They're still pretty.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you still have a relatively big window with all this talent. You just got to – the problem with this team isn't the talent, it isn't their age, it's the pieces around it aren't good enough right now, in my mind. And that's where they have to get better. And they talk about self-scouting all the time. You talk to Marty Morningway, he'll talk about that all the time. But, you know, when you keep coming back with the same weaknesses, you have to question your ability to self-scout. And maybe they are in that bubble and they're not seeing it. I hope you're right. I mean, it sure seems like, you know, you look at even Dawkins. I hate to bring up Dawkins because it's such a polarizing issue here, and it gets some people so emotional because he was such a fan favorite. But, you know, he's done a pretty good job in Denver. The Eagles could use a guy like Dawkins in their secondary. They don't have it because they didn't want to spend money because it didn't make sense for them, and then they go on this shopping spree and don't worry about safety or linebacker. Sure, that's been their philosophy, but their philosophy hasn't worked for 10 years. It hasn't gotten them where they want to go. It's been good, but not good enough. So how do you tweak it? I just don't know that they're interested in tweaking it.
Yeah, I mean, safety was important at one point. I mean, I don't know.
And I guess, I guess it was important. I mean, they went and drafted Nate Allen.
Yeah.
Like that for their second round pick. They just didn't, to me, Nate Allen's never going to be Brian Dawkins. You know, he's never going to be, he's just not physical enough to be that level of a player.
Yeah. Well, but Kurt Coleman's going to be an all pro, so we're cool. Everything's going to be fine.
He's got all pro eye black. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's funny too, at this point, You know what's weird about the whole Dream Team thing is that everyone compared it, and maybe it was because they mentioned, maybe it was because Babin said something about the Miami Heat at around the same time that Vince Young said the Dream Team thing. But everybody like seems to equate Dream Team with Miami Heat, but the Miami Heat never called them, nobody called them a Dream Team. Like they called them a Big Three. I don't know why those two things are so, go so hand in hand. But I think the similarity is in that they were both missing the same thing. They were both missing, you know, the Miami Heat at the end of the day were probably missing more of those middle kind of guys, you know, that were able to stand up a little bit better. And they actually, I think, went and filled it. Like, they went and got Shane Battier.
Yeah, I love Shane Battier. Yeah. I love that addition for them. Exactly what they need.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Haslam wasn't there all year, and I feel like Haslam probably would. Right. But they went and got Shane Battier. So I think there is something. And I think there will be something to... if these guys are together for another year, there might be one or two of them that feel more comfortable getting up in the locker room and you know, vocally and leading by example. Players might look to somebody, look to one of these guys a little bit more.
No, like, they don't have that football. They don't have that big hitter on this team. He just isn't there. You know, like the guy, like, you know, like Jerome Harrison, say what you want about him. James Harrison.
Yeah.
I get that confused. But, you know, he might not be the nicest guy, but he's the absolute leader in that Pittsburgh defense. And, like, they'll go and they'll fall on a sword for him. I mean, because he goes out there and plays, you know, on the edge every game. I don't know that there's somebody, there's no physical presence to this defense. There hasn't been in a long, long time since Trotter, probably, and Dawkins. Trotter and Dawkins were the physical presence, and since then, you know, it's been kind of like a finesse, smaller defense that, you know, can make plays. Like, this defense was built to make plays, but it wasn't built to tackle. And sometimes you just need to tackle and play hard football.
Do you think Tim Tebow could play linebacker?
Play linebacker?
Yeah.
Can do whatever he wants. You know what? I don't get the Tebow. I mean, I get the Tebow hate in that it's anti-media and anti, because the media blows him up as this hero. But you know what? All the guy does is believe in his convictions. Like, that's the reason to hate him. Like, because he truly believes what he says. With all the fake pointing to religion for motivation that you see in sports, to see someone who's actually genuinely believes it and seems to, you know, genuinely follow the way of Christ, that, to me, while I might not have anything in common with it, I think it's admirable and honorable, and I kind of dig it.
Yeah, well, it's the insane world we live, where if there is one thing, if there is one clear-cut opinion on something, so if there are enough people that love something, there will be a segment of people that feel like they have to hate it, like, for no other reason than other people love it. The two things that, this is a whole other podcast, but the two things that and I know I like everything this guy writes, but I don't agree with everything this guy writes. The two things that Chuck Klosterman has written about Tim Tebow have been accurate in the fact that he has said that the weirdest thing about the Tebow debate is that both sides of the discussion completely misconstrue or make up what the other side thinks about it. So the people who don't like Tebow are saying, well, you have no idea that he can't be, that he's not a good fundamental quarterback, when the other side does understand that he's not a good fundamental quarterback. Like, it's an entirely, like, argument-constructed discussion about Tim Tebow. It's just like, you know, like the people who think that, well, do you really think God is watching Tim Tebow? Well, no. No. Nobody thinks that. I don't even know that Tim Tebow, you know, it really, really believes that God is helping him win on an exact game-to-game basis. His faith in God helps him win. That's what he's believing. Nobody really believes that. So it's just the people just try to fill space by arguing, and I think that's, you know, like we're doing right now. So last week, if I have the numbers down correctly, we believed that there was a 40% chance that the things would aside from Eagles wins, that things would happen the other things would happen that would allow the Eagles to make the playoffs, and a 16% chance that the Eagles and those things would happen, that the Eagles would actually make the playoffs. Everything that you know, what is the percent chance that the Jets beat the Giants and the Giants beat the Cowboys?
I don't think that is going up too much. I think that's probably like a 50-50 proposition, to be honest, to say both of those. So I'd say 50-50. And then for the Eagles, the point I'll throw in is I think the Eagles, the way they played, you have to believe that they're much more capable of winning these last two games, especially because obviously one's behind them. So all in all, I'd give the Eagles, I'll go 23% chance.
Yeah, I was going to go around 28. I was going to go around 28. I was going to give an extra 5% for destiny. and I'll tell you, I've written about it, I've tweeted about it. I guess I do understand the people that say, I don't want them to win, I don't want them to make the playoffs, but I don't believe them. And I don't believe that that's how they actually feel. And I believe that they have painted themselves into a corner. With all that they've said about needing a change and blah, 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 blah. And people are so concerned with their argument that they can't, that the notion of them, that the notion of the team believing enough to do this and getting on a roll like that, as much as they said it's impossible and that they can't win with Reed, that it serves their argument better if the Eagles don't do this. But there's no way that they sit there and they watch these games and they don't want the Eagles to win. There's no way. It's impossible, right?
I mean, unless you truly believe in your heart that Andy Reid cannot win, and that if you believe that in your heart, then you maybe root for the Eagles to lose just because you want to see another coach here. That's the only way that makes sense. If you are positive in your heart and that there's no way Andy Reid will ever win a Super Bowl, and that keeping him here only delays the Eagles' chances by keeping him here another few years where you're not going to win. You know, if that's the only way where it makes sense to me.
I don't believe that it's possible that Andy Reid can't win a Super Bowl. Like, Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. Coaches that aren't as good as Andy Reid have won a Super Bowl. Like, and I know this, that you can't.
Well, that's like the quarterback debate, you know, when Donovan could never win, but Trent Dilfer won. You know, it depends on the pieces around them always.
Well, and I know this, you know, it's very hindsight being 2020, but if Donovan McNabb doesn't throw that, it all goes back to, you know, why a lot of other things. If two plays go differently in that Super Bowl, he has won a Super Bowl. And then what are we even talking about right now? You know, like if the Eagles were winning that Super Bowl. So I don't believe that his inadequacies as a coach necessarily were the reason that they didn't. You know, there are so many different factors that go into winning a Super Bowl that to believe that your coach, who is this winning a coach, is not capable of doing that is just flat out wrong. Like, I don't think it could be possible that Andy Reid can't win a Super Bowl. I just don't believe that's possible. Maybe he won't, but I don't believe that it's possible that he does not have the ability to win a Super Bowl. He's been too good a coach for too long for it not to be possible. Maybe it's not. Maybe it won't happen here, but I certainly think that he is capable of being a coach that wins a Super Bowl at some point. So I'll tell you, man, if this happens, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be crazy around here. It'll be awesome. And I don't. That's the like. Maybe I don't. Maybe there's a part of me that just doesn't die the same way that everybody else dies when they don't win. But all I think about is the hysteria around here if they make the playoffs, and it will be hysteria. And I do want to experience it. I want to experience that hysteria. I want a few more weeks of craziness. I don't know why anybody wouldn't, but I guess you're right. Maybe if they just believe that it can't happen, then what's the sense of it anyway? But I don't know.
Well, they'll be the fourth, right? They'd be the fourth division winner.
Yeah.
So they're going to play the best wild card team. So they'll play Atlanta.
No,
that we're looking at.
No, wouldn't they play the? Wait. Okay. So there. How many? This always confuses me now. So
right, there's two byes, first and second. Then the third division winner plays the worst wild card team, and then the Eagles would be the fourth division winner.
Oh, right.
Would they get a home game?
Yes.
They get a home game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, but it's hard.
Think about that.
It's hard to tell who they'd play, but it would most likely be a dome team. Like, so
Atlanta
or Detroit.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Atlanta's a phony team. And Detroit is also a phony team, and they're both dome teams. And the one thing that you want if you are going to play a playoff game in January is a dome team on the road in January.
Absolutely.
I'll take it every time. So they could win that first round. whatever. All right. Let's get there first. you know what? I promise there's this guy, Dan, that listens to the podcast. By the way, there seem to be a significant number of people that listen to the podcast now, so if you're listening to this still, thank you. But this one guy, Dan, said that if the Cowboys and the Giants both lose, that we had to do an hour. But the Cowboys didn't lose, but we did 45 minutes.
Right.
So I feel like that's a fair...
Yeah, but it's different.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll talk to you next week on the road to the Super Bowl.
Road to the Super Bowl.
All right.
4 for 4. All four.
4 for 4. All right, man.
Later.
That's it for Time's Yours. You can check Lee Russikoff out on Twitter @LeeRussikoff or more of me at SpikeEskin.com. Destiny.